Welcome to Church Online once again today, as we gather together as a community of hope in this virtual way. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn. I have the privilege of being the minister at Adelaide West and be sharing the message with you today. We'll light a candle to remember God's presence with us. And it's also a tangible symbol of our unity together. We're at the end of the NAIDOC week, a week that invites us to embrace the history of this country that dates back thousands of generations and acknowledges and celebrates our nation's story. Always was, always will be. I hope you've been able to engage in it in some way. My Facebook feed has reminded me that it's 1 year since we repainted the Ghana shield in our car park here and also painted the new ground art depicting meeting together. And it's a beautiful reminder each time we walk across the car park of the Ghana people and their ongoing care for this land, and also that we meet together with the Trinity as our centre and our foundation. Someone else was going to be sharing the message today, but they're not well, so you have me once again. And we pray for that brother and friend following surgery. We hope this service is refreshing for your soul. In Christ alone, our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song.
Stone is solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin
Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Misunderstandings. When I say that word, misunderstandings, I wonder what you think about. A misunderstanding is a failure to understand something correctly. I can misunderstand something I've heard or something my husband Craig says to me, something I've read. I quickly interpret something in a particular way or I remember something from long ago and assume it's interpretation. And so we come to this parable. And I've heard it a few times before, maybe you have too. I found it troubling at times, but I understood it to be a moral story. I've remembered it as talents and hence I'm to use the talents that God has given me, multiply them so that God will say, good and faithful servant to me. Or is it? Perhaps I've assumed, perhaps I've misunderstood. If I'm really honest, I have a few issues with this parable. After all, it appears the rich get richer. There's justification for accumulating material wealth as a sign of God's favour. That's great news for the rich, but it's not such great news for the poor. And if God is the master in this story, then God is taking from the poor to give to the rich. And that doesn't seem to fit with the rest of Jesus' teaching.
And there's the bit about the master harvesting where he has not sown and gathering where he has not scattered seed. Troubling. It's not a story about talents, but about money. The Greek is talanton, a talent. Not so much a coin, but rather a weight, actually almost 40 kilos, used as the base of monetary exchange. Now, some translations have used the English word talent, and it tempts us to think about this parable as being about abilities. That is, those who use their abilities and talents will be rewarded. Those who don't will be punished. Whenever we come across a parable, we must always look at its location. This is located after the parable of the 10 virgins about being prepared, being ready, that we had last week. And it's followed by what we know as the sheep and the goats, where entrance to the kingdom is given to those who fed the hungry, cared for the sick, clothed the naked, visited those in prison. So a wealthy man goes away on a journey, perhaps a holiday, we don't know. Before he goes, he calls over his servants and gives. And this word gives is the same verb as used for Judas' betrayal of Jesus with money in the next chapter. Interesting. He gives them his property and possessions. 3 servants. To the first he gives 5 talents, to the second 2, and the third 1, and then he leaves. He gives no specific instructions, just gives them the money. The first 2 servants invest what they were given in some way, and they double the master's money by the time he returns. But the 3rd servant takes a different approach. He digs a hole and buries it. First of all, this is a lot of money. The talenton, being weight, scale money, was equal to about 6,000 denarii, with 1 denarii being the daily wage of a common labourer. So this is roughly equivalent to 20 years of wages for the average worker, and that's for the 3rd servant. So this is a ton of money. Let's imagine a modern day scenario. The boss of a small business is going away, doesn't know when they're coming back, and he gives the first employee 10 million, the second 5 million, and the third 1 million, and leaves them to go and do something with it. But in this parable, the boss isn't a good man. The 3rd servant says to him, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." In other words, you profit from other people's work and from other people's property. Like we see so often still today, so many of the wealthy can accumulate wealth unjustly and at another's expense. We can see this amongst countries. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus reinforced our lifestyle choices and priorities? Perhaps we can find a few nice Bible verses to support what we do. You know, we don't like looking at our priorities to question and change them. Wouldn't it be good if Jesus didn't make us feel uncomfortable when it comes to things about money or wealth accumulation? Now, the first 2 servants have done the same thing as the master. They have accumulated wealth and they're rewarded for it. The master entrusted his wealth to them, so it appears that his wealth is measured only in money. That's not what we hear Jesus talking about in the Gospels. Jewish law actually stated that burying wealth was the best safeguard against theft. It was the safest thing to do. In fact, it was the most morally responsible thing that you could do. And Jewish understanding was that money should not be used to make profits, and interest on loans was not even allowed. Money entrusted to another is sacred,
and not to be used for profit. How life has changed. So the third servant is not about making profits, not about gaining wealth at the expense of others. So suddenly we see this parable in a whole new light. Add to this that at the time the Romans were sucking the land dry. To the hearers of this parable, when Jesus shared it, this parable played out what the people already knew. The rich get richer. They would say, you've described the world we live in. That's how we live. It was a very uncertain economic world that Matthew was writing to. Those that first heard this parable would have seen this so differently to us. They probably would have identified with the third servant, expecting him to get a pat on the back. He's done the right thing, followed the law, kept the money safe. But instead, Jesus flips it and turns the story upside down, as he so often does. The master reprimands the servant, and the servant protests that he kept the master's money safe. I was scared of doing the wrong thing. I did what was right by keeping it buried and out of sight where it was safe. I wonder what we would do if we were handed this amount of money. You know, it says in this passage that the third servant was afraid, we assume, of the master. But interestingly, he stands up to the master, telling him he's a hard man. This would have shocked the ancient audience. He was a whistleblower, and he risked all by being bold and standing up to him. He risked it all, as we see. The money was taken away. He was sacked, banished. Perhaps the third servant is the Jesus figure in this story. Jesus stood up against the ways of the rich and the money makers and the money accumulators, those making profit at the expense of others. Jesus too was rejected as worthless and cast out to be an object of shame and humiliation and ridicule on the cross. And I read a number of scholars for this message and listened to some theologians discuss it. And a friend did some research for me on it. And at the end of the day, what came back was quite confusing. Parables are meant to make us think. They are stories with so many layers, many facets of meaning, and our task is to explore the layers, and I encourage you to do that with others or in your connect groups. Having looked at this a little bit deeper, I'm not sure about the traditional view anymore. I have too many questions. And I'm challenged and inspired by the third servant, standing up, challenging the bad behaviour of the master, risking all. You know, there are times that we need to be countercultural and not just go with the flow or stand by and do nothing. We need to stand up for those who are exploited, advocate for the marginalised. And it's a reminder to me how I use and spend my money to not exploit others. There are ways we can do that. Is the coffee and the chocolate that we buy fair trade? The clothes I buy, have those that have made them been paid ethically and appropriately, or have they been exploited for profit? You know, at the moment we have a race for the vaccine for COVID-19, and we hear leaders of nations talking about getting vaccines first. That sounds good when our nation can afford it. But what about nations that can't? Do they get left behind? This may not be exploitation as such, but it's about justice for all. And I find it troubling. You know, this parable has often been used to espouse the Protestant work ethic. But I'd like to leave us with a quote from Mother Teresa that takes us in a different direction. Responding to a British journalist, Mother Teresa said, God has not called me to be successful. He called me to be faithful. Being faithful is living a life where the reign of God, God's kingdom is at work, God's peace, love, and joy is active in our world. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for the way that the scriptures speak to us. And as we have looked at this parable this morning, perhaps from a different angle from before, we just pray that you would reveal to us your life, your truth. Help us to understand what we read and help us to be able to apply the truths that we read about in our lives. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for those times when we have stood by and haven't stood for truth and justice, when we haven't cared whether others are exploited. We're sorry for the things that we've thought, said and done that separates us from others and also from you. And we thank you that these things and our sins are forgiven and that we can find freedom in you. Holy Spirit, help us to be a people always awake, prepared, with our eyes open, to see people around us through your eyes. Help us to care for those who don't have food,
to feed the hungry, to visit those in prison, to care for the marginalised. Lord, we just pray that we'll be open to all those opportunities that we see around us. And we pray that together as a church, as a body of believers, that we would be far more concerned about being faithful than being successful. Help us to be faithful, O God. Lord God, we come to you with our prayers. Thank you for the invitation to pray for others. And so we pause now to pray for our world. We pray for those places where COVID has just escalated, where lockdowns are so severe once again. We also pray for places where there's hunger and war, where people don't experience freedom. Lord Jesus, we pray for our own nation. We pray for reconciliation between First and Second Peoples. We thank you for this time in NAIDOC Week where we've been able to celebrate the stories of our nation that go back so far. Help us as we continue that journey of walking together. And we give you thanks for borders opening in Australia, for families that can now be together, for travel that can happen within our country. And we pray that we'll all be continuing to do the right thing so that we're in this together. And we pray for those who are still struggling with COVID and ask for their healing. And Holy Spirit, we pray for those on our hearts. I encourage you to lift up to God right now those people that are on your hearts, family members, friends, people that you know. Holy Spirit, we lift up names and faces to you. You know their needs. We pray for your healing, your love, your comfort, that you would be their strength. We pray all of our prayers, those spoken aloud and those in our hearts, together in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Against me shall remain. I will rejoice. every season you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
All of our lives in every season, we have a reason to sing and to worship. We hope this service has been one of worship for you today and helped you to connect with God. Our financial giving continues in these times. Thank you for your giving. And we pray that they'll be used to share the good news of Jesus, to proclaim the kingdom, to reach out in God's love. I encourage you to reach out and connect with others today, this week. And prayer is always available. Ring or email or press the prayer button. Thank you for being a part of this service. And we look forward to meeting together again next week, in person or online. As we go, we're reminded to be faithful, to look out for others, to be prepared to stand up for our faith. And always know that you are incredibly loved by God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and each day. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Well, I will bring praise, I will sing praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory. The seed I've received, I will sow.